1440 KVON 99.3 The Vine. This is Kelly. It is time for your Health Bit, sponsored by Queen of the Valley Medical Center and brought to you by Senior Helpers, Navigating the Art of Aging. And with me right now is Robert Nations from Senior Helpers.
Good morning. Kelly. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, it's always good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving, because I won't see you tomorrow.
Right.
Hopefully you won't eat too much, because I know you've been trying to work out and
It's not too hard when you're vegan. So
I know, it's true. It's
not true. To brag, it's but...
Well, I'm excited about our guest today. It's a doctor from UC Davis. He's a professor from the Department of Neurology. And as we both know, and Dr. Carmichael, neurology deals with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. those kinds of disorders, correct?
Correct. Well,
we should say Dr. Owen Carmichael. Give him full credit. Yes. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Okay. Oh, you can't hear in the.
Can't
you
hear
can't hear him.
Yeah.
All right, we're having some issues right now. You know what?
So, Dr. Carmichael, you deal with Alzheimer's all the time. So, in doing studies and teaching, what is from your perspective why it's so hard for us to find a cure for Alzheimer's? Because I'm not even sure we're anywhere close.
Well, the main reason is that we're still understanding the sequence of changes that take place in the brain over the course of Alzheimer's disease. Right now, we're a little bit like cancer used to be. So in the not-so-good old days, the way that you found out that you had, for example, breast cancer is that you found a lump on your breast, or the way you found out that you had lung cancer is that maybe you started coughing up blood. And it turns out that that wasn't an overnight change in your body, but that's something that was culminating over the course of many, many years.
Right.
Right.
So now the situation's a little bit better in the sense that probably the way that you find out that you have cancer is by going to the doctor when you still feel just fine, but there are these changes that have already gone on in your body that are basically the earliest stages of cancer. So when you find out you have cancer, maybe the first thing that you say is, what are you talking about? I feel fine.
Right.
But still there are these changes that have taken place in the body. So that's actually what goes on in Alzheimer's disease. There's a sequence of changes that take place in the brain that are damaging it, but you don't realize that they're happening because you still are able to remember things, you can balance your checkbook, you can, play with your grandkids and do all the things that you can usually do. So right now in the research, what we're trying to do is see if we can come up with something like a mammogram for Alzheimer's disease, a diagnostic test that tells us that these things are happening in the brain before you even realize that it's going on.
But because I know a lot of people get concerned that just because they're forgetting where they put their keys, that they might have early stages of dementia. That's not necessarily true, and that's not what you're talking about as far as determining something else going on that would give you an indication that you've got Alzheimer's, right?
That's absolutely right. And so I get this question a lot, especially from people who are very, very intellectually active in their senior years, which is great. For example, someone who has a weekly poker game sometimes says, I'm concerned that I used to really be able to count cards, and now I can count fewer cards than I used to, and does that mean I have Alzheimer's disease? And it really doesn't. The way you can tell that you have a problem that is really worthy of going to your doctor with is when your inability to remember things and perform actions interferes with your functioning in your life. If you suddenly find that you can't very well navigate from home to the bank or hold a phone conversation with a friend of yours or remember very basic things like how to get dressed in the morning, that's when it's progressed to something that's a little bit more serious. But just what we call these gradual cognitive problems that happen with age are really not they don't indicate that you have some underlying disease.
Okay. I think this is somewhat challenging because I think, as I was growing up, as grandma started forgetting things, we attributed always to old age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's got to be a more definite line I think we're going to have to create eventually as to where do we become concerned. You came up with one. It's dramatic. I've been dressing myself since I was a baby,
right?
And now I'm having trouble with that. That's very dramatic,
right?
But I think where we're going to be challenged as we move along is those grayer areas that we start. Can you talk a little bit? Do you understand what I'm asking about?
Yes, absolutely. And there isn't a black and white decision about whether you have a serious cognitive problem and whether you don't. So, and it's very, very tricky. This is probably where we spend, where the clinicians at, for example, UC Davis Alzheimer's Disease Center, where I work, this is probably where they spend most of their hours, is trying to determine these gray area cases. Mm-hmm. Do we tell this person that they have dementia, or do we tell them that they don't, based on problems that are somewhere in the middle, like you're saying. And it really is a challenge, and part of it comes, down to, like you're saying, attitudes about what cognitive problems mean in old age. Some people think that very serious cognitive problems are actually just part and parcel of growing old. And it turns out that's not actually true. So, and so it really is a challenge trying to determine what you're going to tell people.
I have a question for you, Dr. Carmichael. You mentioned dementia, and I'm not sure, is there a difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? Is that one and the same?
Dementia is an umbrella term that covers all of the serious cognitive problems in old age that are so serious that they interfere with how you function. The Alzheimer's disease refers to a particular biological cause of those cognitive problems. So the problems that happen in your brain can arise from different biological events that take place in the brain, if you will, mm-hmm. and one of those is Alzheimer's disease. One of the things that's a little bit confusing nowadays is that the biological cause and the effect on how you think are not very well picked apart in terms of the terminology. Some people call the things that happen in the brain Alzheimer's disease. Some people call the cognitive problems that you exhibit in your day-to-day life Alzheimer's disease. But a better term would be dementia of the Alzheimer type for the cognitive problems, and Alzheimer pathology for the things that are happening in the brain.
So how do you know it's Alzheimer's? Is there an actual like brain scan that would say, it's Alzheimer's?
Well, this is a great question. So there is very recently, there's been developed an imaging technique that will tell you whether in the brain there is one of the two common features of Alzheimer pathology. So there are two things. One's called plaques and the other ones are called tangles. So there is a way of imaging the presence of plaques in the brain. We don't have any very good way of telling whether you have tangles in the brain. So up until very recently, the only way to really tell for sure that someone had Alzheimer pathology in the brain was by waiting until they passed away and doing an autopsy.
Unfortunately, that was the only way you knew.
Whoa.
But when you talk about imaging, we've got a brand new CT scanner that's state-of-the-art here at our hospital locally, the Queen of the Valley Medical Center.
Right.
Are you saying that if I suspect that I might have Alzheimer's, I could go and ask for one of these CT scans and potentially see these plaques?
We have to be very cautious about this.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
For one thing, the technique that's used is PET, not CT.
Okay.
For doing this, so that's
scan.
One thing. And the other thing is that at first we thought we had that very same notion, like you're saying, I can get this PET scan, I can figure out if I have plaques, and therefore I can tell that I am going to have cognitive problems later on. Mm-hmm. I am going to progress to having these kinds of serious cognitive problems that are going to interfere with my ability to function independently. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that the situation is much more complicated than that. There are a fair number of elderly individuals who are walking around right now with whose PET scans make it look like they have amyloid plaque, but they have no cognitive problems at all.
Interesting.
Wow.
So one hypothesis is that these are the people who are in something like the analogy would be that these people are in like stage one of cancer, where they have a problem in the brain and it just hasn't progressed yet, but it's going to.
So in that case, do you start treating it, even though they don't show any cognitive problems?
Well, this is the other problem, is that there are no really good treatments for dealing with amyloid.
Of course.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Is there a treatment?
So right now, treatments are basically confined to what's called symptomatic treatments, which is not trying to attack the root cause of Alzheimer's disease, but just dealing with some of the consequences of it. So, you know, people, I think we have, there's an ongoing conversation amongst researchers as to what do you tell people about their PET scan that tells them whether they have plaques or not.
Right.
If they do have plaques, for one thing, we don't...
Yeah, what are you going to tell them to do about it, right?
What's that?
What would you tell them to do about it? Oh, you've got plaques now.
Now they're just going to worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically the only possible outcome is that it is worry. That's basically the only thing that's going to come out of telling them at this moment in time, because we can't tell them that within 5 years they're going to have memory problems, within 10 years they're going to have memory problems. We really don't know, and even if we did, we wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Okay, well...
Well, I think the good news here, and I'd love to, because I've got lots of questions for you, but unfortunately we're going to run out of time. We're going to have you back, but I think the interesting thing is that we've come a long ways. We've learned a lot about these diseases in very recent years.
Absolutely.
And I think based on the fact that the statistics I read, by the time I reach 80 years old, there's a chance that 50% of the people around me are going to have Alzheimer's or some form of dementia. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to create quite an emphasis on this disease and paying for people like you to do research for us.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think I can't emphasize enough that what I'm saying is not exactly a optimistic, hopeful kind of message, but it really should be thought of in that way, because we've grown by leaps and bounds just over the past decade.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I want people to realize just how far we've really come with this disease. We've learned a lot, because when my grandmother was sick back when in my 20s and the 80s, we thought she had Alzheimer's. That's what we called it, but we really don't know for sure. And now we can start, you know, learning and understanding more about what happened.
Yeah, and maybe another analogy here would be depression. So 40 or 50 years ago, if someone had a chemical imbalance in the brain that made them unable to get out of bed in the morning, a lot of people would kind of say, "Oh, snap out of it! You have a case of the blues.
Right.
You can. That's true. All you need is a lot of willpower, and you can just, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps." Yeah. Turns out that was absolutely not true. There was actually a serious problem in the brain that you needed to go to the doctor for. So, and Alzheimer's is very much maturing into that kind of understanding of what's going on.
Well, I appreciate you joining us this morning, and if the listeners out there are as intrigued about Dr. Carmichael as I am this morning, because I have lots and lots of questions, I'm sure Kelly does too, he's actually going to be a keynote speaker here in Napa coming up on November 30th. The Alzheimer's Association is holding their third annual conference, Understanding Memory Loss, Strategies for Success 3. It's on Wednesday, November 30th. Starts at 8:30 in the morning, runs to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It's at the Yountville Community Center. And Dr. Carmichael is the keynote speaker.
Wonderful.
And I look forward to meeting you in person and maybe asking some of these other questions I've come up with this morning.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the talk. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be. And very informative as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Owen Carmichael and Robert Nations.
Of course.
Thank you. It's a lot of great information. I could go on all morning with this. That's your Health Bit, sponsored by Queen of the Valley Medical Center and brought to you by Senior Helpers, Navigating the Art of Aging.